All right, so you know how like some subjects in school, they just seem to click for pretty much every kid, and then there are others that can be like a real uphill battle.
Right. Totally. Yeah. You see those patterns emerge pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, today we're diving deep into one that's often seen as, just a physical outlet. We're talking about PE, good old physical education.
Oh, interesting. PE. Okay. Yeah.
But what if, and stick with me here, what if that environment, the gym, the field, the space that's supposed to be all about fun and fitness, what if it's actually a source of stress for some students?
Ah.
Or even, and this is where it gets kind of heavy, even re-traumatization for some.
Wow, okay. I'm intrigued. I mean, I hadn't really thought about PE through that lens before.
Yeah, it's a perspective shift for sure. And we've got some seriously thought-provoking insights from this article by Neil over at Future Action. He's got some great stuff.
Okay.
And our goal today in this deep dive is to unpack why a trauma-informed approach to PE isn't just like a nice to have, a fluffy extra,
Right.
but like a crucial element in creating schools that are genuinely supportive and reach every single student.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to see where you're going with this. We
Right.
often talk about trauma-informed practices in a broader educational context, but PE often gets left out of that conversation.
Exactly. And the article makes that point really well. It's like we compartmentalize education, but the reality is everything's interconnected, right?
Absolutely. I mean, a student's experiences in one area are going to influence their experiences in others. It's all part of the same ecosystem.
Totally. And when you think about it, PE is this really dynamic space. You've got bodies moving, there's interaction, all sorts of emotions can surface, excitement, frustration,
Yeah.
even vulnerability,
Oh,
right?
yeah, for sure. I mean, I think back to my own PE experiences. There were definitely moments of all of that, sometimes in the same class.
Right. And so for some students, that's fantastic. That's the magic of PE. But if a student has a history of trauma, those same elements can be incredibly difficult to navigate, even triggering.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Trauma can make those experiences feel so much more intense, even threatening, when for others, they're just part of the game.
That's exactly it. So that's where this idea of being trauma-informed comes in, specifically for PE teachers.
Okay, so how does that actually play out in the PE setting? What does it mean for a PE teacher to be trauma-informed?
Well, the article lays out some really compelling reasons why it matters. And one that really struck me was this fundamental need to create a safe space. Like when you picture a typical PE class, what comes to mind?
Well, let's see, you've got close physical proximity, often pretty competitive situations, and yeah, moments where a kid might feel self-conscious about their abilities, their body, all of that.
Exactly. And for a student who's experienced trauma, those things can feel amplified, almost threatening.
Right, because their nervous system is already on high alert, looking out for danger, even when there isn't any. So something like a close game of basketball could feel incredibly overwhelming.
Yeah. So it's not just about preventing physical injuries, right? It's about fostering a sense of emotional security, too. It's about creating an environment where every student feels safe, both physically and emotionally.
That's a really important distinction. It's about recognizing that safety is multifaceted. It's not just about the absence of physical harm, but also about feeling secure, accepted, and respected.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that often gets overlooked, especially in a setting like PE, where the focus is often so much on physicality.
For sure. We tend to think of safety in PE as, making sure the equipment is in good condition, teaching proper techniques to avoid injuries. But for a student who's carrying the weight of past trauma, emotional safety can be even more fragile, even more crucial. They might be hypervigilant, constantly scanning for potential threats. And the things you mentioned, the proximity, the competition, the fear of judgment, those can all trigger those underlying anxieties and make them feel deeply unsafe, even if objectively there's no physical danger.
Wow. Yeah, that really puts it into perspective. And it makes me think about trust. For these students, trust isn't just a given, it's something that has to be carefully built.
Exactly. It's built brick by brick through consistent empathy, through proving to be reliable, through showing up for them time and time again.
Something else the article brought up that I hadn't fully connected to PE before was how it can play a role in developing self-regulation and a sense of belonging.
Oh, interesting. Okay, tell me more.
Yeah, it suggests that the activities and the social dynamics within PE can actually help students learn to manage their emotions and feel like they're part of a community. And for students who've experienced trauma, those are often areas where they really struggle, which then impacts everything, not just their time in the gym.
Wow, that's a powerful connection. I mean, we know that trauma can disrupt a person's ability to regulate their emotions and can lead to feelings of isolation and disconnection.
Right, exactly.
So the idea that PE could offer this unique avenue for growth in these areas is really exciting. It's almost like we're tapping into the inherent power of movement to support healing and development.
Yeah, and the article talks about how physical movement is directly linked to our nervous system. Trauma can often leave the nervous system in a state of either high alert, like we were talking about, or withdrawal.
Right. Stuck in fight, flight, or freeze mode.
Exactly. And the structured environment of a PE class, combined with intentional movement, can actually provide opportunities for students to learn to regulate those intense physiological states in a safe and supportive context.
That's fascinating. So it's not just about getting the heart rate up, it's about using movement as a tool to help the nervous system find a sense of balance and calm.
Precisely. And then there's the belonging piece. Trauma can be incredibly isolating, right? Like it can make you feel disconnected from yourself and from others.
For sure. That sense of isolation can be profound. It can feel like you're living in your own world, separate from everyone else.
Yeah. And the article highlights how the experience of being part of a team, working together towards a common goal, even the simple act of shared activity, can be really powerful in fostering those feelings of connection and community that are so vital for healing.
That makes so much sense. It's about creating a shared experience, a sense of we're in this together. That can be incredibly powerful in counteracting those feelings of isolation.
And speaking of connection, the article also really emphasizes how crucial it is for PE teachers to build trust and positive relationships with their students.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, relationships are the foundation of any good learning environment, right?
Right. But it points out that trauma can actually erode a student's ability to trust adults, and that includes their teachers, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you've experienced trauma, particularly if it involves adults, trusting anyone, even someone in a position of authority, can feel incredibly risky.
Yeah. So a trauma-informed approach with its focus on empathy, patience, and just being a consistent and reliable presence becomes absolutely essential for laying that groundwork of trust.
It's about showing up for them consistently, meeting them where they're at, and being patient with the process. It's not about forcing trust, but about creating an environment where trust can gradually grow.
Exactly. And finally, on this whole why of trauma-informed PE, the article talks about promoting inclusive participation. It makes this really important point that trauma can manifest in all sorts of ways. You know, one student might become withdrawn and silent, another might act out with aggression, while yet another might simply avoid PE altogether.
Right, and without that trauma-informed lens, those behaviors can be really easily misinterpreted.
Absolutely. So understanding that these behaviors could be rooted in past trauma helps teachers shift their perspective, right?
Nice.
It helps them adapt their teaching strategy so that all students can participate in a way that feels meaningful and safe for them.
It's about moving away from a one-size-fits-all approach and recognizing that students are coming to PE with vastly different experiences and needs, and that those needs might not always be obvious on the surface.
Exactly. It's about being curious, being observant, and being willing to adjust your approach to meet those individual needs.
It's about seeing each student as an individual rather than just a member of a class.
Okay, so we've got a good grasp on why a trauma-informed approach is so vital in PE, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely starting to see the bigger picture here. It's about so much more than just physical fitness.
Exactly. But now let's dive into how trauma can actually impact a student's engagement in a PE class, you know, like the nuts and bolts of it.
Okay, let's get into the specifics. I'm ready.
The article breaks this down into four main areas: physical, emotional, cognitive, and behavioral effects. So let's start with the physical. The article notes that students who've experienced trauma might have those heightened stress responses we were talking about earlier. Things like a racing heart or tense muscles, even when there's no real danger present.
Right. Their body is basically stuck in survival mode, always on the lookout for threats, even in a seemingly safe environment like PE class.
Yeah, and the article says this can make physical activity feel really unpleasant or even overwhelming for those students. It can lead them to want to avoid it altogether.
Which ironically can actually perpetuate that cycle of stress and anxiety because exercise is one of the best ways to regulate the nervous system and reduce stress.
It's like a catch-22, isn't it? They need the physical activity to help regulate their system, but the very act of engaging in it can trigger that stress response.
Exactly. It's a delicate balance. And it really highlights the need for a trauma-informed approach that recognizes those sensitivities and provides opportunities for students to gradually increase their comfort levels with movement.
And this goes back to what we were saying earlier about creating that sense of safety and trust. If a student doesn't feel safe, their body is going to be in that fight or flight mode, which makes it nearly impossible to relax and engage in physical activity in a positive way.
Absolutely. It's about creating an environment where their nervous system can finally start to calm down, and they can begin to experience movement as something enjoyable and empowering rather than something threatening.
Okay, so then there's the emotional impact of trauma. The article talks about emotional dysregulation, which is basically students struggling with those really intense feelings like fear, anger, or sadness.
Right. And we know that emotional regulation is a key skill that's often disrupted by trauma. It's like the volume control for your emotions is broken, so everything feels louder and more intense.
And in the context of PE, the article says things like competitive games, the fear of making mistakes in front of peers, or even negative feelings about their own body can trigger these intense emotions and lead to disengagement.
It's like anything that brings up those feelings of vulnerability or potential judgment can be really triggering.
Yeah, it's almost like they're reliving those past experiences of feeling unsafe or exposed.
Exactly. And that can make it incredibly difficult to participate fully and authentically in PE. They might withdraw, act out, or just try to disappear.
So I'm curious, are there specific PE activities that you've noticed tend to trigger this emotional dysregulation more often than others?
That's a great question. I think activities that involve a high degree of public evaluation or direct competition seem to be particularly challenging. Team games where performance is very visible, or individual activities where they feel like all eyes are on them.
Right, like they're being put on the spot.
Exactly. That fear of judgment, of letting others down, or of not measuring up can tap into past experiences of shame or failure.
That makes sense. It's like those activities create this sense of pressure and scrutiny that can be really overwhelming for someone who's already carrying the weight of past trauma.
And similarly, activities that involve a lot of close physical contact might be really difficult for students who've experienced interpersonal trauma.
Oh, right. Like being touched or bumped could trigger those memories and feelings of being unsafe.
Exactly. It's not necessarily the activity itself, but the potential for it to reactivate those past negative emotional experiences.
Okay, so that's the emotional impact. The article then goes on to talk about the cognitive impact of trauma. It explains how trauma can actually affect things like focus, memory, and executive functioning.
Wow, it's amazing how interconnected everything is, how trauma can actually impact brain function in these really specific ways.
Right. It's not just about feelings, it's about the way their brain is actually processing information and managing tasks.
And when you think about a PE setting, those cognitive skills are crucial for success and enjoyment, right? You need to be able to follow instructions for a game, remember the rules, stay focused on the activity.
Exactly. And the article says that a student might struggle with all of those things if they've experienced trauma. It can hinder their participation and their enjoyment in PE, not because they're not trying, but because their brain is literally working differently.
It's a whole different ball game when you're trying to learn and engage in an environment where your brain is constantly scanning for threats or struggling to process information in a linear way.
So can you break that down a bit more for us? Like, how does that actually manifest in a PE setting?
Sure. So trauma can actually lead to changes in brain structure and function, particularly in areas that are responsible for those cognitive skills we were just talking about.
Okay, so give us an example.
For example, chronic stress can impact the hippocampus, which is a part of the brain that plays a key role in memory. So, if a student seems forgetful of the rules or has trouble remembering what they're supposed to be doing, it might not be because they're not paying attention, but because their brain is actually struggling to store and retrieve that information.
Wow, that's so important to understand. It really shifts the perspective from blaming the student to understanding that there might be these underlying neurological factors at play.
Exactly. And then difficulty concentrating might be linked to an overactive amygdala, which is the part of the brain that's always on the lookout for danger.
So they're essentially in a constant state of hypervigilance, which makes it hard to focus on the present task.
Precisely. And then there are challenges with executive functioning, like planning and organizing movements in a complex game. Those can also be affected by trauma.
So if a student seems clumsy or uncoordinated, it might not be a lack of ability, but rather a reflection of these underlying cognitive impacts of trauma.
Right. And the more we, as educators, understand these connections, the better equipped we are to support these students in a way that's actually helpful.
Okay, and then the final impact the article discusses is the behavioral impact of trauma. It makes the point that behaviors that we might typically see as negative or problematic, things like withdrawal, aggression, or even defiance, those can actually be coping mechanisms for students who've experienced trauma.
Yeah, it's so easy to jump to conclusions about a student's behavior, to label them as lazy or disobedient or disruptive.
Yeah.
But when we view behavior through a trauma-informed lens, we start to see that these actions are often communicative. They're trying to tell us something.
It's about understanding the why behind the behavior, right?
Exactly. A student who's withdrawing might be trying to minimize stimulation, avoid potential triggers, create a sense of safety for themselves. Aggression could be a manifestation of feeling unsafe, a learned response to perceived threats. And defiance, that might be a way of testing boundaries, trying to regain a sense of control in an environment where they feel powerless.
So instead of just punishing or trying to control those behaviors, a trauma-informed approach would focus on trying to understand the underlying needs that are driving them.
Precisely. It's about shifting our approach from simply managing the behavior to addressing the root cause, which often lies in the unmet needs created by the trauma.
That makes so much sense. Okay, so the article then moves into some really practical considerations for how PE teachers, and I think this applies to anyone working with young people, can actually support all students in their classes.
Yeah, let's get into some strategies. What can teachers actually do to create a more trauma-informed PE environment?
The first point the article makes is about building strong relationships. It emphasizes showing genuine interest and care for each student.
Okay, that sounds simple enough, but how do you actually do that? Especially with students who might be guarded or distrustful.
Well, the article talks about the importance of using what it calls psychological safety cues.
Psychological safety cues. What are those?
It's things like genuine smiles, open and welcoming body language, really listening when a student speaks, using a calm and attuned tone of voice. It's about conveying through your words and actions that you see them, you value them, and you're there for them.
It's about creating that sense of emotional safety that we were talking about earlier. It's about communicating through your presence that this is a space where they can let their guard down, where they don't have to be on high alert all the time.
Exactly. And it's not about being fake or overly cheerful. It's about being authentically present and attuned to the student's emotional state.
It's about meeting them where they're at, acknowledging their experience, and letting them know that you're there to support them.
Now, are there common pitfalls that you've seen teachers fall into when they're trying to build these kinds of trusting relationships with students, especially students who've experienced trauma?
Oh, for sure. I think one of the biggest pitfalls is inconsistency. Students who have experienced trauma, especially if it involves adults, often have a hard time trusting people because their past experiences have taught them that people can be unreliable.
So if a teacher says they're going to do something and then doesn't follow through, or if their reactions to similar situations seem unpredictable or unfair, that can really damage trust, even if it's unintentional.
Exactly. And it can be really hard to rebuild that trust once it's been broken. Another challenge is misinterpreting a student's behavior, you know, those protective behaviors like withdrawal or defensiveness.
Right. It's so easy to take those things personally, like the student is rejecting you or being disrespectful.
Yeah. But when you understand that those behaviors are often a direct result of the trauma, it changes your whole perspective. It's not about you. It's about what that student needs to feel safe.
So patience is key, right? Building trust with students who have been hurt takes time, consistency, and a whole lot of empathy.
Absolutely. There's no magic formula, no quick fix. It's about showing up consistently, being patient, and earning their trust through your actions.
The second strategy the article mentions is creating predictable routines. It explains how consistent routines can provide a real sense of stability and comfort, especially for students who have experienced trauma where their lives might have felt chaotic or unpredictable.
That makes so much sense. If your world has felt out of control, knowing what to expect can be incredibly reassuring. It's like a grounding force in the midst of chaos.
Yeah, and the article specifically applies this to the PE setting, saying that knowing the structure of the class, the warm-up, the activities, the cool-down, that predictability can actually reduce anxiety and help students feel safer.
Because it takes away that element of surprise, that fear of the unknown, they can focus on participating rather than constantly being on edge, wondering what's going to happen next.
Another key point the article brings up is providing choices and autonomy. It talks about empowering students by allowing them to make choices about the activities they participate in, or even how they modify tasks to suit their own comfort levels and abilities.
That's so important, especially for students who've experienced trauma, where they might have felt powerless or had choices taken away from them.
Yeah, it can be really healing to give them back that sense of agency, even in small ways.
It's about recognizing their individual needs and preferences rather than imposing a one-size-fits-all approach.
Exactly. And the article says this can be as simple as letting students choose between two different warm-up activities or allowing them to modify an exercise if it feels too challenging or uncomfortable.
It's about giving them that sense of control, that they have a say in their own experience, which can be incredibly empowering.
The article also suggests integrating mindfulness and relaxation techniques into the PE curriculum.
Oh, interesting. Oops. I love that idea. Mindfulness is all about paying attention to the present moment without judgment. And it can be such a powerful tool for managing stress and regulating emotions.
Exactly. And the article explains how these practices can help students learn to manage stress, improve their emotional regulation, and just enhance their overall well-being.
And you don't have to be a meditation guru to bring these practices into PE.
Right. It can be as simple as taking a few minutes at the beginning or end of class to do some deep breathing exercises or a quick body scan meditation.
Yeah. And the article actually shares this really cool anecdote about how even a group of, like, typically rowdy year 8 sporty boys responded really well to these mindfulness practices.
It's funny how we often associate mindfulness with, like, quiet introspective activities.
Right, like it's only for the Zen kids.
But the reality is these skills, learning to pay attention to your breath, noticing your physical sensations, those can benefit everyone, even the most boisterous and energetic students.
For sure. It's about giving them tools to manage their energy and their emotions, which ultimately makes them more successful in all areas of their lives, not just in PE.
And then finally, in terms of these practical considerations, the article emphasizes the ongoing need for professional development and training for educators. It says it's essential to really understand the effects of trauma and learn effective strategies to support students who have been affected.
Yeah, this is not a one-and-done situation. Trauma-informed practice is an ongoing journey of learning and growth. Our understanding of trauma is constantly evolving, and it's crucial for educators to stay up to date on the latest research and best practices.
So professional development plays a huge role in this, right? It gives teachers that opportunity to deepen their knowledge, refine their skills, and connect with other educators who are doing this work.
And it's not just about acquiring new information. It's about creating a space for reflection and discussion where teachers can share their experiences, their challenges, and their successes. Because this work can be really heavy, and it's so important to have that support network.
Now, I want to shift gears a bit and talk about a really interesting approach that the article introduces called RISE. Have you heard of this?
RISE? No, that's a new one for me. Tell me more.
Okay, so RISE is specifically designed to integrate emotional regulation and a sense of belonging through movement. It's about leveraging those unique resources that PE has, you know, the time, the facilities, the equipment, to create a more trauma-informed experience for students.
I love that. It's about taking those things that are already happening in PE and infusing them with a trauma-informed lens.
Exactly. So let's break down each element of RISE. The first is repeaters, and this refers to repetitive activities, things like running, walking, or yoga. You know, those movements that have a rhythmic, predictable quality to them.
Okay, yeah, I could see how those could be calming and grounding.
Exactly. And the article explains that these kinds of activities not only have physical benefits, but they also really help to regulate the nervous system and reduce stress.
Right. It's like they create a sense of order and predictability, which can be really soothing for the nervous system, especially for someone who's experienced trauma.
And it talks about how these activities can actually calm the amygdala, which is that part of the brain that's involved in processing emotions, especially wow. Fear.
Oh, wow. So it's literally helping to quiet down that fear response.
Yeah. And it also widens the window of tolerance, which is basically the range of emotional intensity that a person can experience without becoming overwhelmed.
So it's like it's giving them more space to feel their emotions without getting completely hijacked by them.
Exactly. And then it also mentions that these activities can help students access their prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that's responsible for thinking and learning.
That's fascinating how physical activity can have such a direct impact on brain function.
It really is. It's like those repetitive movements create this sense of calm in the body, which then allows the brain to function more optimally.
So it's not just about feeling better. It's about actually improving their ability to think, learn, and make decisions.
The next element of RISE is inclusive teams. And here, the focus is on how team sports can foster social connection, that sense of belonging, and even the release of oxytocin, which is often called the bonding hormone, through working together towards shared goals and just the camaraderie of being part of a team.
I love that. It's about tapping into the power of connection and collaboration to create a sense of belonging, which, as we were talking about earlier, can be incredibly healing for students who've experienced trauma.
Right. It's about creating an environment where they feel seen, valued, and supported by their peers.
And those positive social interactions can really help to counteract those feelings of isolation and loneliness that often accompany trauma.
Then we have stress busters. These are activities like boxing, weight training, contact rugby, or even yoga, which the article describes as safe outlets for releasing pent-up emotions and frustrations.
I can see how those activities could be really cathartic, especially for students who are holding a lot of tension or anger.
And the article points out that these activities can actually have similar effects on the amygdala and prefrontal cortex as the repeaters.
So they're not just about venting emotions, they're also helping to regulate the nervous system and improve cognitive function.
And then the final part of RISE is energizers. And these are those high-energy activities, things like circuit training, skipping, or dance, that invigorate the body and trigger the release of those feel-good neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin.
Yes, those are the ones that get your heart pumping and leave you feeling energized and happy.
Exactly. And the article says that energizers can help students reconnect with the world around them, combat those feelings of lethargy or detachment that can sometimes accompany trauma.
It's like they're shaking off that heaviness and re-engaging with life in a more vibrant and joyful way.
What's really encouraging about this whole RISE approach is that it's not about reinventing the wheel. As the article points out, it uses activities that are already happening in most schools.
Right. It's about being more intentional with the activities we're already doing and infusing them with this trauma-informed lens.
Exactly. And it really emphasizes allowing students to choose the activities that excite and engage them.
I love that. It's about giving them a sense of autonomy and ownership over their experience.
Which, as we've discussed, is so crucial for fostering that sense of empowerment and agency that can be so healing for students who've experienced trauma.
It's about moving away from a one-size-fits-all approach and recognizing that each student is unique with their own individual needs and preferences.
And the article ends with a really powerful set of reflection questions, which I think is a perfect way to wrap up our deep dive today.
Oh, I like that. Let's hear them.
All right, so the first question is, how well do you understand trauma and the potential impact on your students?
That's a big one. It's really inviting us to take a look at our own level of understanding and awareness.
Yeah. And then it asks, what psychological safety cues do you currently use to make your PE classes feel safe and welcoming for all students?
It's about reflecting on our own practices and identifying those small but powerful ways that we can create a more trauma-informed environment.
And then it asks, do you teach how movement can help your young people regulate themselves and feel a sense of belonging?
I love that question. It's about recognizing that movement is so much more than just physical exercise. It's a tool for emotional and social development as well.
And finally, it asks, would you benefit from additional training to integrate trauma-informed PE into your practice to support your young people?
It's a reminder that this is an ongoing process of learning and growth, and that there are always more resources and support available for those who are committed to this work.
And the article actually mentions some really helpful resources that are available for educators who want to explore this further. There's a trauma-informed PE teacher training course, an enhancing engagement scorecard, even a taster course if you're just starting to dip your toes in.
That's fantastic. It's great to know that there's concrete support out there for educators who want to take this on.
Yeah, and there's even a waiting list for other services and a book, as well as a newsletter to stay in the loop on all the latest developments. So it's clear that this is a growing field, and there's a lot of energy and enthusiasm around creating more trauma-informed PE environments.
That's really encouraging. It's exciting to see this shift happening in education, to see more and more people recognizing the importance of addressing trauma and creating truly inclusive and supportive learning environments for all students.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of trauma-informed PE, it's clear that a young person's physical, emotional, and cognitive experiences are all interconnected.
It's not just about the body, it's about the whole person.
Exactly. And movement, when approached with understanding and sensitivity, can be such a powerful tool for healing and growth.
It's about recognizing the incredible potential of movement to support not just physical well-being, but emotional and social well-being as well.
It really makes you think about what even one small intentional shift in your approach could mean for a student who's navigating the impact of past experiences. You know, maybe it's as simple as offering more choices, being more mindful of your language, or taking a few minutes to do a calming breathing exercise.
Those seemingly small things can make a world of difference for a student who's struggling to feel safe and regulated. It's about creating those ripples of positive change that can have a lasting impact.
So as you go about your day today, I encourage you to think about how you can bring a little bit more awareness, a little bit more empathy, and a little bit more intentionality to your interactions with the young people in your life. Because you never know how even a small gesture of kindness or understanding might be the thing that helps them feel seen, valued, and empowered to move through the world with a little more confidence and joy.
Beautifully said. That's a perfect note to end on.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with us. We'll catch you next time.